All right, guys, welcome back to the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, here with my two favorite co-hosts, David Drogemeyer and John Kegley. We are three San Diego-based guys who have been following the Chargers our whole life and started covering them 3 years ago while we were all writing for San Diego's top sports blog, San Diego Sports Domination. And we started covering the team and made our own Facebook live show called Chargers Domination Live, which was why we got approached by Locked On Chargers podcast to bring you guys more of an everyday show, a 20 to 30 minute show we could do multiple times a week. With that being said, what's up, guys? How you doing, David?
I'm doing great, man. The season just keeps getting closer and closer. We can get closer to single digits as we get to kick off the season on September 9th against the Kansas City Chiefs. Can't wait, but before that, we still got some roster business to attend to.
Yeah, I know, John. It's getting really close. I mean, really close. We're just a little over a week away. Only one more fake game before we really start this thing.
These games may be fake, man, but I'm still healing from the wounds from that Saints butt kicking, man. Hopefully they don't hurt this bad in the regular season.
Oh, my gosh. I think we pretty much proved on our last episode that there's nothing to worry about there. I mean, that game was somewhat of a mirage, but anyway.
I agree.
Yeah. Anyways, on today's show, we are headed into the final game. Everyone plays on Thursday this week, and the Chargers will be taking on the San Francisco 49ers in a game that we don't expect to see most of the starters playing in. Pretty much all of the starters will be rested for this game. But there's a lot of roster spots up for grabs, guys, and these guys are going to get a lot of playing time. There's some guys coming in this week, which we'll start with talking about who is going to play this week. There's a couple injured guys that are coming back and will have their first chance to show what they look like in lightning bolts. Then we're going to also talk about ESPN just came out with its prediction for the final 53-man roster. So we thought it would be a cool thing to kind of go over who they said on that cut and what we need to see from those guys this week or the guys that didn't make the cut to see if they can change their fortune, or at least the way it's being perceived right now, and do something to make the team in their last game. But, guys, there's also a new addition where we'll start the show today. The Chargers signed former Texans defensive tackle Marcus Hardison, who was a fourth-round pick by the Cincinnati Bengals in the 2015 draft, who comes into the Chargers at a time where they are very weak on the interior defensive line. They waive Zach Crabtree, the offensive lineman, to make space for Hardison. And are you guys happy that the Chargers are actually bringing someone else in to kind of, you know, give it a shot in this last week to make the roster, David?
I mean, it's kind of difficult for the young man to be put in this position because there's not going to be a whole lot of opportunity for him to make a team. Although, if there is a situation around the league where he could possibly sneak onto a roster, it is the Chargers, because Corey Legit's going to be out for the first four games and surprisingly has gotten a lot of playing time in the preseason, which I don't quite understand, which he's actually looked pretty good, but it's kind of like, you know, you're getting teased with candy you can't have, because normally Corey Legit's, you know, kind of, you know, just a warm body out there. But, he's actually shown some things, but, you know, like I said, he's not going to be available. So they're thin. Brandon Mewbane's not getting much push anymore. It doesn't seem to, you know, have that same, you know, mobility that he used to have, you know. And so there's an opportunity here, but I just don't know if he's going to be able to put enough on tape in this fourth preseason game to get a spot.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's at least stoked to get the opportunity, but when you get signed on Tuesday and your potential only game of the season is coming up on Thursday, and then trying to familiarize yourself with a new playbook is a tall task for anybody, John. And John, what do you think of the move, and are you upset to see Zach Crabtree go?
I thought that he had some potential to be the backup, if not maybe a practice squad addition to be there when an offensive lineman went down. So I am sad to see him go. But an injury is an injury, and you got to move on from a guy that has no guarantee on your team and try to find somebody else to be that diamond in the rough. So I do like the signing because it is in a position that we need more depth. But I honestly just think this is just going to be a camp body. I don't have high hopes for him making any splashes on this team.
Yeah, and I mean, just to give you guys some background, Marcus Hardison played for Arizona State in college where he had 10 sacks and 15 tackles for loss as a senior that season, but has yet to translate into the NFL, has yet to play in an NFL game, guys. So it's not as if they're adding a wily veteran that they have some game tape on. It's still another really unproven guy like we've seen already on this roster. So it's hard to think that's going to make a difference. But I want to talk about some guys that are going to play this week. There's been some news from Anthony Lynn that we're going to see some people in Thursday's game that we maybe didn't think we were going to see. And that starts with Derwin James, who was also named a starter by Anthony Lynn, saying that he will start in some packages, rotating out with Jahlil Adai, but also getting some time as free safety as well. And that's why I said almost all of the starters aren't playing, because Anthony Lynn also informed the media that Derwin James will play on Thursday. So, David, what do you think about his claim to being a starter and the fact that they're still planning on playing him Thursday?
For Derwin James, I think this is just a situation to where you're trying to get a guy just more game reps because he is a rookie. And, yeah, he's going up against guys that are fighting for a roster spot or are really just camp bodies that aren't really going to make a team. But I think this is a situation to where you get him – yeah, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 snaps at the max, and then you put a baseball cap on him and take his pads off and have him sit next to the coach on the sideline.
In our last show, we showed you Derwin James's interview where he said the game is starting to slow down more and more every time for him. So I think this is just Anthony Lynn allowing him to let the game slow down even more. So he'll probably play a couple series to improve the slowing down of the game. And after that, you won't see much of him.
Well, and I think the other aspect is, guys, is if he doesn't play, who is going to play? I mean, even the guys behind him, it's not an especially deep group with the loss of Jalen Watkins. And you have a couple unproven guys that I guess could play the whole game. But, I mean, I don't think you're going to see extended time out of Adrian Phillips or Rayshon Jenkins, who both figured to be pivotal parts of the Chargers defense this season. So I don't know if that's a huge red flag. But I am also excited to see him get those reps. I think you're right. It's not as if he has just been an out-of-this-world game wrecker. I think this is a good game for him to go up against some guys that are trying to make teams and really boost his confidence, because if the fourth preseason game goes like we think it will, I mean, he's not going to be playing against all-star caliber or maybe even NFL caliber players out there. So to get in this game with people of primarily less talent than him, I think is good for him, at least as a confidence booster. But that also talks about him. The other news, guys, that I didn't get to as part of the guys who are playing on Thursday is Forrest Lamp is expected to get to play on Thursday. We've been waiting to see since he was taken so highly last season. And I mean, for him, he really has a shot to gain playing time in this game and show that he deserves to be a starter, guys. David, how excited are you to see Forrest Lamp on the field this Thursday?
Man, it's been a long time coming, I'll be honest. I mean, ever since he went down with the torn ACL after having lofty expectations, you know, being picked second round, in the draft last year, he was expected to come in here and make an impact. You know, everybody was saying he was a first-round talent that slipped to the second round, and you know, he got injured, so we didn't get to see what he is capable of doing. But now he's healthy, he's ready to go, and now he gets to show what he can do in a game for the first time in a couple of years. So I'm going to be watching him intently, and they said if he plays well in this game, there's an opportunity for him to take that starting right guard spot, which I think we've all thought that's where he was going to end up eventually.
I feel like it's been a year-long anxiety attack just wondering what this guy is going to be like. And then the even bigger question now is he's had an injury. Is he going to still be what he was before? I really want to see this guy on the field just to get a glimpse of what he can be, what he is now, what his potential is. It really is a year-long anxiety attack, to put it mildly.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see him. I think when you have a guy like that from Western Kentucky, I mean, even though he was drafted as highly as he was, you want to see that guy get out there against NFL-caliber talent. And I don't think anyone doesn't want to see him play on Thursday just because, I mean, he could be the Chargers' best offensive lineman at some point, you guys. I don't think that's out of the question by any means. What they thought when they took him was he could be an anchor on wherever they put him. I know Anthony Lynn was not quick to put him into a specific position as far as saying specifically right guard. That's the obvious opening, but he just kept talking about his versatility. But that's going to do it for the news segment. Stay with us, because after this, we're going to get into who made the 53-man roster on ESPN's projections on the defensive side of the ball and who we saw the surprises are and if we agree or disagree going into the game on Thursday.
You know, ever since I've started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend the service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid.
Hi, guys. Well, it was cool to see something finally happen as far as someone predicting the Chargers' final 53-man roster, and that's what we got out of ESPN's Eric Williams, who covers the team. And there's a few surprises on there, guys. I didn't think that there was going to be a ton of surprises just in these cuts. It doesn't seem like there's as many guys right on the bubble because of the guys that are injured. You don't really give them a chance to make the team like that because they haven't gotten on the field. So I think that's kind of taken some of the buzz out of the roster battles, because it seems pretty clear cut at this point who's going to make it. There haven't been a lot of guys, I would say, outside of Tre'Davious Newsome, who we'll get to later, that have really just jumped out and just been like, hey, you have to put me on this team. So let's get into some of the surprises from Eric Williams' list on the defensive side of the ball going into the game on Thursday, to see if there's some guys that can maybe get on the roster that didn't make it onto this list. So we're going to add special teams into this one, because ESPN has the Chargers keeping two kickers, Roberto Aguayo and Caleb Sturgis. And David, I know that has to drive you crazy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just can't justify carrying two kickers, especially when there are places on the roster that are much weaker and in much greater need of reinforcement. A la the defensive line and offensive line. You can never have enough bodies on the line because guys get hurt, and that's a position that requires a lot of depth. So I just can't justify them carrying a kicker, even if they're trying to say that one's going to be for kickoffs and one's going to be for field goals. I understand they were inept in that category last year, being last in the league in field goal percentage, but I just cannot in my bones even fathom them carrying two kickers. So I'm sorry, Eric. I love you, man, but I have to disagree with that take.
I don't think it's as crazy as people think it is. I think it could actually be a smart move for this team, and if you ever need another roster spot because someone goes down, you can easily just cut whichever guy you think is not fitting the situations that you have. So if it's Caleb Sturgis who's not making his field goals, or Roberto Aguayo's kickoffs are not that great, you think Sturgis is now ready to take over the kickoff position after his hip surgery heals up more, then you could cut someone. But as of right now, I think that's a great position to put the Chargers in after having a horrible year with kickers last year. And having a really good kickoff kicker is really well planned out. If you're the Patriots, you see it work all the time. So if you're the Chargers, you want to see that same thing where they plant it down inside the 3-yard line and tackle them inside the 15. It could save you a lot of time on your defense.
Yeah, but you would also think that, I mean, Caleb Sturgis, obviously, when he's healthy or if he's healthy, could pin him back because, or could be the guy who places those kicks there, because Roberto Aguayo, as far as what we've seen in the preseason, has just kicked every single ball through the end zone. I think they put him on here as a kickoff specialist, and they put Caleb Sturgis on as the kicker. I kind of think that's nonsense. I think basically what it is, hey, we can't decide between these two kickers. And I understand both sides of it. Obviously, in an ideal world, you're not keeping two kickers in any scenario. I don't know if there's good enough guys on the roster right now to really push these guys off or to make it a tougher decision on them. But I also think there's something to, it probably doesn't help either one of the kickers having another guy breathing down their neck at all times for their confidence. I mean, the Chargers kickers obviously already lack confidence. So I don't know if it's good to necessarily have Caleb Sturgis, I mean, potentially being the starter, but knowing, hey, even though Roberto Aguayo is a kickoff specialist, he could take my job at any time. So I think it's a really tricky situation, but as we've said before, we don't like spending too much time on kickers. So the next thing on the defense that stood out to me was the fact that Craig Mager and Michael Davis both make the roster. I know we talked about it last week, John, that we probably thought that this would be the case, but is there any way for one of these guys behind them on Thursday to make enough of an impact to replace either of those two guys, John?
I don't think there is. It's been way too inconsistent for most of these guys to make me want to put my money on one of them. I mean, Michael Davis hasn't had the greatest preseason either, but he's had more experience with the team, and I think they can see more potential in him. Tony Brown was really just supposed to be a guy that is a kickoff specialist type guy because he is fast as hell and can run down there fast as hell, but he hasn't been productive this whole preseason. And Brandon Faison, I mean, he had like one good game, and after that he's been silent, had pass interference calls, has been getting beat. I think what you see in this predicted roster for secondary is what you're going to get.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I unfortunately see them carrying Craig Mager, which I honestly I'm not a huge fan of Craig Mager. Although he's played okay this preseason. He kind of has been invisible, which, I mean, if you're not standing out as a corner, that means you're you know, probably not getting the ball thrown your way, or you're just doing your job. So, I mean, I'm okay with it. Like I said, I'm not his hugest fan, but the coaching staff seems to like him. And Michael Davis, you're right, John, he has got beaten a couple of times, but he's also showed a couple of good pass breakups as well. So I think both those guys are definitely going to be on the team.
Well, and we know that the coaching staff has an affinity for both these guys, given the fact that without really doing anything at all and having Trevor Williams leapfrog Michael Davis in the last preseason, let's not forget about that, when he had all the hype going into it, that they're probably not going to cut these guys, and no one has really made that decision any tougher on them. But the last thing I want to get to on the defensive side, guys, is the Chargers keep 9 defensive linemen, including Chris Landrum, Isaac Rochelle, Brandon Meebane. I mean, mostly guys we've thought would make the roster. But the one guy is Patrick Afrije, And it looks to me, guys, since Corey Leger doesn't count against the roster for the first 4 weeks of the season, that this is a spot, at least on this list, that is probably meant to be taken over by maybe an Antonio Gates or a better defensive lineman that could come in and actually contribute on the interior, David.
Yeah, so just keeping this on the defensive side, I mean, we'll get to Gates on the offensive side a little bit later on, but I definitely am unsure of them going with Patrick Afriye. I just haven't seen a whole lot out of him in the preseason, and I would much rather them use this spot for an interior defensive lineman. Like I said earlier, they're very, very thin at that position. So I think undrafted free agent like a Steven Richardson could come in and take this spot until they, you know, maybe find someone better after cuts happen.
I think this is a position that's truly up for grabs still. John, do you see this on this list as really just a placeholder for somebody else they might bring in?
I do, because if you talk about interior linemen, he has them keeping Brandon Mebane, Darius Filon, Damian Square, and Justin Jones, who are your interior D linemen. Out of those, that's four guys, and then when Legit comes back, he's going to be your fifth interior guy, and they're going to cut Afriye. So it doesn't really matter who that guy is in Afriye spot. That person's going to be gone when Legit comes back, so I don't even think it's really a discussion to have about if that guy deserves to be there. And they think Whitney Richardson's going to be on the practice squad as well.
Yeah, but guys, this is obviously not the exact list. This isn't what's happening. But you see where it's all coming from. I think 99% of this list, or at least 90% of this list, we agree with. And I think, yeah, right now, Patrick Afriye probably shouldn't feel too good if he's trying to Google himself on ESPN right now, seeing that he made the roster. I think he still has a lot to prove and probably will be playing a lot on Thursday. But that's going to do it for the defensive side of the ball and what we're looking for. And now it's time to get on to the offensive side of the 53-man roster projection. But that's coming up next. All right, guys. Well, this is actually the part of the 53-man roster projection that I'm most excited to get into. And that's on the offensive side of the ball. There's definitely some names on here that we have talked about at length of whether they're going to make the team, and maybe a position battle that wasn't a position battle in the wide receiving core. And let's just jump right into it, guys. The one I want to talk about the most is the Chargers in this projection are keeping six wide receivers, and Artavis Scott and Jeremy Davis both make the list in this projection, David.
I'm sorry, I don't see that happening. I like both of those guys. I think Artavis Scott's been pretty productive. Jeremy Davis is a guy that the coaches love, and he's made a couple of splash plays, but he hasn't really been consistent. So I don't see both of them making it, but I think since Jeremy Davis has been around the team and, you know, has been on the team, I think they're probably going to lean that way. And I think Artavis Scott is going to probably see another year on the practice squad.
Well, and the one thing about Jeremy Davis is I know he's been up and down, but the scary part is, guys, is when you put his stats up to Mike Williams for this preseason, you might not guess that Mike Williams is the one that had not as good of stats, obviously with a lot less playing time. But they each have one big moss over a defender and for a touchdown. And, I mean, as far as the numbers go, they've actually had pretty similar preseasons so far, John. But that obviously means that Dylan Cantrell doesn't make the list. What do you think of those two guys being in, John, and that one guy being out?
I actually agree with keeping all six guys on the roster. Dylan Cantrell hasn't played the whole preseason, so I don't think he deserves to have a spot. He's probably going to make the practice squad. Whether or not he gets picked up by somebody else, we don't know. And J.J. Jones will probably also make the practice squad. But Jeremy Davis has shown that he can probably build into a better wide receiver, and I think they're going to keep Artavis Scott as that special teams guy on the roster. And I'm sure they're going to switch one of those two guys back and forth as the guy that actually suits up on game day and put one of the other guys as one of the seven guys that doesn't suit up on game day.
I don't think we're going to see Dylan Cantrell this week either, guys. We haven't really heard anything that he will be in the game. So hopefully maybe he can work it out on the practice squad and they can bring him up later in the season if he shows something promising or if somebody gets injured. But I guess both of these guys are said to be key special teamers, not just in the return game, but playing on punt return and kickoff return and other special teams position too, and they've showed value in. So I think it has a lot to do with that as well. But I think we could all imagine seeing only one of those guys on the list as well. And I mean, maybe I think it could be either one at this point. I think Thursday is huge for both of these guys. But moving on, the Chargers only keep two tight ends in this list, guys, Sean Colkin and Virgil Green. John, do you think they enter their first game of the season with two tight ends, or do you think they're saving room for maybe somebody else?
I believe they're definitely going to sign somebody, whether that's going to be Antonio Gates, who is not a lock to be signed, but is probably the higher percentage person to be signed, or if they go for somebody from another roster that gets cut. So maybe someone releases a really good tight end that they didn't have room for because they had some two big pricey tight ends on the roster, and we can steal him. But I don't see two tight ends week one.
Definitely not going to be two tight ends going into week one. I believe that Antonio Gates has just been biding his time, waiting for training camp to be over. And I believe the Chargers are going to come to an agreement with him, and he'll be in the building before week one. That's just my personal feeling. And I think, you know, he can still be effective. He's still got a big body, still can be a red zone target, still got good hands. And if anything, he still has a presence about him on the field. So I think there's going to be at least three tight ends going into the season.
Tom Telesco's comments on it were the door is still open, and it makes sense to this point why Antonio Gates at his advanced age wouldn't want to be out there putting his body through training camp if it's not necessary. This has the Chargers keeping Phillip Rivers and Geno Smith. Not a surprise for any of us. We agree with that and also think that that's what it's going to be. Not because Geno Smith's a great quarterback, but because no one else on the roster is even a subpar NFL quarterback from what we've seen. The next position I want to talk about here, guys, is Dortrez Newsome makes it in this list with Austin Ekeler and Melvin Gordon as the three running backs. Justin Jackson does not make the list. So, John, is there anything Justin Jackson can do on Thursday to maybe change his fate and make the team somehow?
I don't think so. I think even if he has a really good game, I think that just maybe makes the coaches consider him for the fourth spot. I think it's obvious that Melvin Gordon, Austin Ekeler, and Dortrez Newsome are going to be your three running backs. So to maybe even have a chance at having a fourth running back on the squad is going to be really hard. He'd have to, like, really fall out. Like, we better see some 40-yard runs or a couple of touchdowns or some really good ability of running through the holes. So unless you can do a lot of that, and I mean a lot of it, I don't even think they're going to even consider keeping him for the roster and probably just practice squad him.
David, any additional thoughts? I know you agree somewhat with that sentiment.
I do agree, and I think at this point for Justin Jackson, he's putting some playing time on tape and auditioning for 31 other teams. I think that at this point, there's just not much that he can do to make the roster. It's just too little too late.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is, I mean, roster cuts aren't always fair, guys. I know we've seen other players do well in the past, end up not making the team. So I would say nothing's guaranteed there as far as Dortrez Newsome's roster spot, but I think he's the most likely of any undrafted free agent to make the team this season. And speaking of which, there's another guy, Cole Toner, who makes it on the offensive line, which he has the Chargers keeping 10 offensive linemen, which is a good number, especially with their injury history. But Cole Toner was really the head-scratching one for me, David. I didn't see a lot out of him, but I think that's a very ambiguous group. That spot could go to one of five guys who didn't really play that well this preseason.
Yeah, the backup offensive linemen in general were just underwhelming, and I think that's just putting it very nicely. I mean, to be honest, they played very badly. I don't think anybody in the backup ranks showed any kind of flash at all. I just think it's a weak group. And personally, I don't think Cole Toner is going to make the team. So I disagree with Eric there. But who knows? I mean, like you said, I think this is a group that is very interchangeable, especially with the last couple of spots on the roster.
It's definitely a head-scratcher for me. I don't see Trent Scott, Eric Wren, Zach Goldick, or Cole Toner making this roster because none of them were really that special. And Cole Toner was basically a third-string center. And we already have two centers on here in Mike Pouncey and Spencer Pooley. So why would you keep a third one when you could probably get more depth at the tackles or the guards, which is where we really need the depth at. Those are the guys that tend to get hurt the most on this team.
Really, guys, I think the backup offensive line who becomes the starting offensive line for this fourth preseason game has the most to prove, and I think that spot is as up for grabs as it can be. And I think if somebody plays well this week in that group, they could absolutely take that spot because the Chargers are probably looking to keep a very deep group at the offensive line position. But, guys, we are out of time for the day, so that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Locked On Chargers podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. And we will be back with you later this week to talk about what we see in this final very important preseason game. So make sure to keep your alerts on your phone because that will be coming to you soon. But until then, we'll see you guys later. Thanks again for listening. Go Bolts.